Throughout music history, there have been great groups, the Vienna Philharmonic, for instance, or the Glenn Miller Orchestra, and groups with great names, the Fugs, perhaps, or Strawberry Alarm Clock, and all too rarely great groups with great names, the Beatles, or the Guarneri String Quartet, or Led Zeppelin. And now to the world of contemporary pop music, there's Jim's Big Ego. It's enough to make you hope the music is fantastic. Judge for yourself.
I'm a paranoid schizophrenic with surround sound speakers.
They're everywhere, they're everywhere, they're everywhere.
With Jesse Flack playing bass and Dan Cantor on drums, the man behind the name, singer, songwriter, guitarist Jim Infantino, has just released They're Everywhere, the fourth CD from Jim's Big Ego. Jim Infantino joins us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. What a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
The pleasure's mine, Leanne.
Well, listen, it takes a lot of self-confidence to name a band after yourself, and especially when you call yourself Jim's Big Ego, kind of takes it to another level. You have to explain the name.
Well, it's actually a confessional. I think I was really self-conscious about standing in front of a group and having them play my songs, so it was most honest to say that it was just about me. Our first record was called More Songs About Me, so I was very much calling attention to this. In order to defray that a little bit, I put the name out there as, you know, My Big Ego.
Instead of starting with the songs, though, do you mind if I start with the cover of
Sure.
your new CD? I mean, it would look really familiar to comic book fans. Robots, flying saucers, there's a frightened young woman, big red hair, and the artist is someone who is known by quite a number of people. Carmine Infantino?
That's right, yeah.
He did Superman the Flash. He did a lot of stuff for DC Comics. And he's your uncle?
Yeah, he is. I called him up. I think we were in the studio. And, you know, the main song is They're Everywhere. And I just pictured, you know, robots and flying saucers and people running. And the band said, well, you need to ask Carmine if he'll do it. And I'd never asked him to do anything like this. So I didn't think it was very likely. And I just called him up and he said, of course.
She's got the bejesus bleeding from her arms. She's auto-stigmatismatic. She sets off car alarms. And she's got a Harley. She hardly ever rides.
Did you study the philosophy of language at Haverford College?
I did.
Yeah. That must have been very valuable to your songwriting.
Yeah, it was. I was a big fan of this guy Wittgenstein, who, I mean, this is heady stuff, but he believed that language was, in the end, in reference to nothing, and that it was a game that we played. We knew the moves, and it took my songwriting in a different direction when I started reading Wittgenstein, because when you think of language as just a move and a response, and you drop the sense that words represent things, gives you a lot of freedom to write about anything you like.
All the girls in the classroom think he's hot. He shows up wearing the sandals with the white socks. He hears him giggling while he's got his back to the class.
Math prof, rock star. Okay, this guy wears white socks and sandals. It's a great song. It's funny. Is this somebody you know?
It is, actually. It's my brother-in-law.
Does he know you've written about him?
Oh, yeah, and he became my brother-in-law right after I wrote the song. I wrote it 15 minutes before I got married because I was sitting in this room getting ready to get married, and I was getting really, really nervous, and I brought my guitar along, and I just started singing about his situation, which is he's a TA, I think, I forget, he's a graduate.
Teacher's assistant, yeah.
Teacher's assistant. He teaches a class at UCLA.
And after hours outside of his office, there's a line waiting full of girls who want to ask about their quadratic equations. She leans over the desk and pulls a pencil in her hair, complains the grade he gave her was way unfair. And all the professors, they laugh about it and they wish him well. The guys in the class are all just jealous as hell. Math prof rock star. Math prof rock star.
And he's very popular with the ladies, and so you know, but he's teaching calculus and infinite number theory, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this juxtaposition of, you know, high concept math and he's hot.
And any questions one would have about quadratic equations? I mean, he's the guy. He's the go-to guy.
He would be, yes.
At the end of the day, he's got to sneak out the back. There's a stairway behind the machine where you get a snack. She.
I don't like to use the words nerd or geek or whatever, because some take pride in those labels and others resent those labels.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about something that you do, computer stuff. You're heavily into computer stuff, right?
Yeah, I started doing animation in order to make my band's website more interesting. But more recently, I've been programming our website to look less like a website and more like something you'd actually want to play with, be in, and use. It doesn't just look like text or pictures on a page.
So more than just an electronic press kit for the CD and for the band.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't just promote the band. It should enable people to kind of get together.
Yeah, there are places to chat, places to post messages, all kinds of interactive things. You offer one of the songs from the CD mixtape as a free download from the website.
The song could be between any two others. You only hear it when you play it on your mixtape. Made for
the song mixtape, the lyrics of the song are so interesting because they really put their finger on what can happen to music, the fate of music sometimes. Do you think that it could end up between two other artists' songs on somebody's iPod?
I'm hoping that it does. I think that's the greatest form of flattery, when you've chosen a song to take with you on the road or to school or to work or to the gym.
And you don't know what band is playing, and you made up the name of the song. Super lost that piece of paper, now it's just a thing you made it pass along. Mixtape.
We are interested in keeping our songs as free to share as possible, because it seems like it really helps the music more than it hurts the music. So we have allowed all of our songs to be bought and downloaded, but we don't put a restriction like, don't share this with your friends. We encourage people to share, so long as the music is attributed to us and people don't try to resell the music.
You had actually said once in an interview on this network, whether or not MP3s are illegal, they're here to stay. What's clear to me is that the internet is totally upsetting the entire business model of the music industrial complex. In other words, things were changing then. How do you perceive how things have changed in the 3 years since you made that statement?
There's been much more of a response to the amount of sharing that's going on. And there have been alternatives to the free-for-all of sharing. Napster 2.0 is out now, and iTunes Music has been a great business model. And there are multiple business models. I imagine there could be many, many, as would suit the new consumer.
What about as a performer? I mean, I know the traditional structure of the recording industry is that, you know, recording artists still get, what, 60 cents a disc, something like that?
There is no typical record deal, but people say that the average amount of money that people make off of your $18 purchase is less than a buck. Mm. And when you buy that disc, you want to be making a donation to the artist, but it's frustrating for the consumer to know that they can't, you know, without just simply sending the artist money, which nobody does. I mean, what kind of business model is that where people just send in money? But except public radio.
I was going to let you say it, not me.
So we're trying to create a direct conduit between the fans who like the music and want to buy it and us. And there isn't, at this point, much of a reason for there to be really very much in between us and the consumer of our music. You should be able to buy it directly from us as a digital download or as a physical thing and know that all that money is going to us.
I've been bashed and battered and bruised and beaten. I've been abused, misused, and I've been mistreated. I've been up and down, and still I feel you're an ass.
There's a song we can't play on a Sunday morning unless you can find a way to sing some of it a cappella and not say the bits that are going to upset people. But it's such a perfect car song and can apply in so many different situations. Can I ask you, first of all, how you came to write? Mm-hmm.
Well, it came out of me in a fit of rage, but it also just seemed like people could use this song, that it wouldn't just be me that would really enjoy singing it.
And I've looked at it from your side, and I've looked at it from mine. And I know you had
And I know you had a hard time when you were only 9. But that was long ago, and now there's just no denying that you're a
is one of the songs that can be found on Jim's Big Ego new CD, They're Everywhere. They're Everywhere is available from their website at bigego.com. Jim Infantino joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more on the group, including music cuts from the new CD and samples of Jim's web design and animation, you can go to our website at npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.